Hey guys, welcome to the show. And today it's all about you, the listeners, for your questions, your comments, your rants. It's all about you as we do our weekly mailbag slash live show, as you give me your thoughts on Raw, SmackDown, Survivor Series, everything going on in the current WWE product. So let's get it all started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining me here in the WWE Podcast. And normally this is Wrestling Nostalgia Night, but I'm going to be doing a mailbag version of the show instead and put the little Wrestling Nostalgia on the shelf just for tonight, because I wanted to make sure that your voices are heard. And I know that in the weeks past, I've done both Wrestling Nostalgia and the mailbag and dropped it on Thursday, but for simple burnout of recording and wrestling and my actual job, my full-time real job, and other commitments, it's a little overwhelming for me to do two shows in one night on top of everything else. So only for tonight, though. I mean, I should be back next week with Nostalgia and the mailbag, but tonight it's just the mailbag as we take your voicemails and we have a bit of a quick live show. And, you know, I had one caller. And I was only going to do the show for as long as we had callers. You know, I wasn't just going to hang out and babble about nothing. So the live show format is for you guys. So whenever there is a pay-per-view or there's a big event happening, some big news in WWE, or I just feel like going live, I will let you know. I'll let you know through here. I'll always let you know at the beginning of the show. And I'll let you know through my Twitter, which is wrestling_audio, and on Instagram at WWE_podcast. So that is where you'll be able to know, hey, are you doing a live show tonight? When are you doing a live show? That's when you'll know. I would love to be able to do it for every Raw and SmackDown. Like, I would love to, but my life will not allow me. I mean, by the time I would get done with recording on Monday nights and Friday nights, I would be in bed by like 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, I just can't do that. It would kill me. So that's why I do the reviews I do on Tuesday and on Saturday or Sunday for SmackDown, just because it's simply easier for me, or I will be asleep at the mic, I promise you. Okay, well, tonight, again, it's all about you guys. I'm going to get to your voicemails at the beginning, and then we'll end the show with my quick live show that we did tonight. And again, guys, please, those live shows are for you to voice your opinions when big things go down. And I wanted to also make up for Survivor Series just kind of being dropped, right? The server and I dropped the ball on Survivor Series. I should have tested things out, but it was just a disaster on Survivor Series after the pay-per-view. But from here on out, TLC, Royal Rumble, whatever the hell is after that. Sometimes it's Roadblock, right? Sometimes it's Elimination Chamber, whatever the pay-per-view is, two pay-per-views sometimes between Rumble and Mania. And then, of course, WrestleMania and beyond. So that will be the format for the foreseeable future. But I may pop on here and there. This is I think it's a great format to be able to have you guys talk to me live. There's nothing like live. So, alrighty. Well, without further ado, let's get to that very first voicemail. We'll go through all the voicemails we got. And then, of course, we'll end the show with the live portion that I did earlier tonight. So here we go.
Hey man, here's Chris from Switzerland again. Hope you're doing well these days. Thank you for your show as always, and I'm a big fan still and looking forward to talk with you in probably WrestleMania season next year. Two thoughts for you today. The first one is R-Truth. Yeah, it's I have read in some German newspapers here in wrestling multiple times now. That Brock Lesnar is kind of interested, to have a little program or even a match with R-Truth, because he finds him so funny and he respects him. And R-Truth is really respected, and I think no one really knows that, how much he's respected in the backstage area, and also from all who's worked there, and he's a really, really much respected guy, and even that shows a lot. And I hope a little bit kind of a David versus Goliath match, maybe. Not a squash, maybe. Who knows? And it could be really interesting, and if it ever will happen. I mean, it's not a money match, but it can be interesting because it's so... the second thought about maybe biggest... not maybe. He's the biggest gimmick and the best character in wrestling history to me. And maybe to many others as well. The Undertaker, he's resting in peace now. The character itself, I'm sure, he's gone. And he will not returning as a Deadman ever again. He will not even show up in Hall of Fame or something like that. No, he's really gone. And Vince McMahon doesn't like showing up these days. And he does it. And you see that emotion that he wants to be... or. The last one who introduces that character ever again. And if he make Hall of Fame, of course, and something like that, it will be a kind of like the Boneyard match between a mix between Mark Calloway and the American Badass. Same like a last match, maybe only as American Badass a cinematic match. He will not have a wrestling match in the ring ever again. That's also absolutely sure for me. And that really feel like that, but it's so sad. It's not happened in front of fans. It's such a... come on. It hurts more, you can imagine. Thanks for all, for everything, and the 3 minutes are done. Take care, stay healthy, and talk to you soon, Matt. Bye.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for calling in all the way from Switzerland. That's so cool for me to say. A big thank you for your time and your questions. So question number one about R-Truth and Brock Lesnar. I heard the same thing through the last year, couple of years, that Brock Lesnar was so entertained, I guess, by R-Truth that he would like to have a program with him. Now, they did have a little bit of an interaction. I think it was when Brock Lesnar was the carrying the Money in the Bank briefcase. I think when it was the Brock party. I believe it was during that time, and R-Truth interrupted him. And he ended up cracking up Brock Lesnar in the ring, and I guess that wasn't supposed to happen. And I don't know if when he says he wants a program with him, what that means. Does that mean a one-off? Does that mean some long-standing program? I don't think it would be a long-standing program. I think it would be one of those one-offs. You'd have the fans insanely behind R-Truth because the fans respect R-Truth. Just as you said, a lot of people backstage respect R-Truth. And I don't think the respect is really necessarily translated on screen because of the fact that R-Truth is constantly doing roll-ups to either lose or win the 24/7 championship for, I think, like the 46th time. I'm not exaggerating. I think it's around, it's mid-40s. So I don't think that respect is often really noticed by fans, but I'm glad you brought it up because I have heard the same thing that the performers, the wrestlers backstage do, in fact, respect him. And they should. You know, this guy, he's a company man. You talk about somebody who's reliable, who will do anything for the company. This guy will do anything. He knows he's good at comedy. Vince knows he's good at comedy. And he is good at comedy. R-Truth is one of the very few that is good at comedy. I think the only other one I can think of in the recent past is Santino Marella. He was decent at comedy. It's hard to do. Really hard to do. When you find somebody that's just really gifted at it and you don't have to try, you keep them. And R-Truth is I'm sorry for those that think I'm disrespecting him. I'm not. He's a comedy character. There's a position for him. Now, if you're going to put him in a match with Brock Lesnar, that is going to be a match that people look at as super lopsided, but could the ultimate miracle happen? Right? People would look at that and go, could he get even a fluke win over Brock Lesnar? You know, that's the story you tell, but it could only happen once. I don't think you could do, you know, a traditional 3-month program, you know, with R-Truth. But the second question or second comment really about Undertaker not being in front of fans for his last match or his last performance, his last entrance. Well, first of all, I don't think it's his last entrance. I think we will see the Undertaker return kind of here and there, not for a match. His in-ring days are over, but for a kind of a quick choke slam. I alluded to this a couple of shows ago, or even last night's show, that he's going to be kind of like Stone Cold, where he pops in and out, you know, and the fans go crazy, and the gong tolls, Undertaker choke slams somebody and leaves. Like, that I could see, but no match. So Undertaker's last entrance, I don't know. I think Undertaker could, again, pop in as a kind of a surprise every once in a while, but his in-ring days are over, yeah. But and I feel for Mark Calloway, the man, not being able to be in front of true fans, just as I felt for Drew McIntyre through all those years of struggle and ups and downs and all that, that wasn't able to celebrate with fans capturing the WWE Championship, just as I felt for Edge returning from injury after how many years to compete in front of nobody in a last man standing match that wasn't well received by fans because it went on for like a couple of weeks. It felt like, I mean, it was just stupid long. I think it was like 40 minutes long in the last man standing match in the Performance Center at WrestleMania. And look, they did the best they could, but I felt for all of these guys. And this is just a handful of examples off the top of my head. No fans certainly hurts everyone, everyone. The sooner they get fans back in there, the better. But obviously health will dictate that. All right. Well, thank you so much for your questions, and let's get on to the next one.
Hey, Matt, what's going on, my friend? This is Anthony. I'm from Long Island, New York. I don't know if you remember me. A couple of years ago, you actually had me on as a guest. I'm in my mid-40s, rediscovered wrestling that I loved so passionately in the 80s, and then my then 10-year-old son got me into it, watching YouTube videos, and I've been hooked ever since. Great passion for the for wrestling, but again, it's been just essentially 2 years. I'm very optimistic. I'm very positive. It takes a lot for me to have a negative view on wrestling. Maybe after a couple of more years, I'll start to shift on that. But I still see things through the lens of a child, essentially. What a great distraction wrestling has been with all the craziness going on in the world, and the politics, and the stupid virus. It's just been so uplifting. The Thunderdome, much better than having no fans, but I still can't wait for the pop of the crowd when the fans do come back. Wanted to thank you. Your Patreon account is tremendous. I get all of my I get emails when your shows come in. With all respect to your advertisers, I don't have to listen to them on the podcast. It gets right to the point, and your price point is just like negligible. I don't even notice it. So great job on that. And anybody listening, if you're not on Matt's Patreon account, jump over to it. My one rant and then my one quick question. My one rant is Rey Mysterio that important to the WWE that we have to suffer through him trying to get his family, who are horrific actors, to sell us a storyline with a legend like Rollins? Aaliyah, cute girl, God bless her, but I mean, it's awful. She's just not an actress, and she's not selling it, and it's quite tough. But again, try not to be negative. My question: I was listening to the new podcast, the Survivor Series preview with Mimi. She sounds awesome. Excited to get her into the rotation. And you asked her a question about some of the emotion she has, and she talked about how she got teary-eyed watching Alexa Bliss win a match a few years ago, and it got me thinking. What about you? You're a lifelong wrestling fan. Has there ever been a moment that seemed so real, that didn't seem scripted, that came across so real that you got emotional over it? I'd be curious to hear your answer. For me, again, in my short period of time, it was Kofi when he got the opportunity over Mustafa Ali, and he went on that run and won the title at WrestleMania. It just seemed organic. It seemed natural. I was so into it, and I loved it. I'd be curious to see what yours was so that I could go back on YouTube and watch it. Hey, Matt, again, great show. Love your content. Look forward to being a regular caller, and have a good day, my man.
Hey, Anthony, thank you so much for the kind words. And to everyone listening, I promise I did not pay him on the side to say all those things, okay? That was all of his own volition. I had nothing to do with that. It wasn't an infomercial I paid for him to provide in the show. But all joking aside, thank you so much for the compliments and for the plug for Patreon. I don't really talk about it a ton, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you don't have to deal with commercials if you get on Patreon. And it's, like you said, really inexpensive for 1 month. I mean, it's pennies per day. Pennies, literally, when you do the math, to get in and ad-free. So if you hate all these ads, well, no problem. Just head on over to Patreon. So thank you so much to Anthony for reminding me to plug my own stuff. Thanks so much, because I sometimes forget. And much appreciated. And I do remember you very well. And you were my caller during the show. So I do appreciate that as well. It's great to be able to connect with you again. It's been too long. So I'm glad you're enjoying wrestling. I'm glad that, you know, you are getting emotional about it, even though you've been a fan for a short period of time. So to answer your questions, you've got some good ones here. One of them I've never even considered, which is crazy. And we'll get to that in a second. But your first one about Rey Mysterio, they are just brutal, aren't they? They are brutal. And I know you are a positive guy. I generally am too, despite what many people may think on here. I generally am. And that's why, I mean, I love wrestling. But when it sucks, it sucks. Like, we call a spade here. We don't cover for anybody. We don't work for anybody. We work for ourselves. So I agree. Like, the Mysterio family are just, I mean, it's putrid as far as the acting ability. It's second grade, community theater is what I should say. It's community theater on a big stage, right? Like, they are community theater. You're like, go to your local theater and watch a play and then stick them on Broadway and see how it looks. Like, that's the comparison. It's just not good. I appreciate what they're doing, but you think Aaliyah's bad. Look at Rey Mysterio's wife. I mean, she has about two emotions. You talk about robotic. I'm seriously, like, I feel like her face is going to fall off, and you know, you're going to see a, like, robot wiring behind her face. I mean, it's brutal. It is very brutal. I agree. And hopefully this whole thing just ends without even explanation. I'm a big fan of always making sure stories make sense and that we get follow up and follow through and there's no story holes. But in this case, I will give WWE permission to just pretend that this never happened and that everyone drops off the face of the earth. And if Rey Mysterio wants to stick around, fine. But obviously Dominic, who's really good in the ring, but has about as much personality as the microphone I'm talking into, he can work on that. I mean, it's not something he can't do. But in the ring, he's much better than I think anybody probably thought they were going to see. But the rest of his family can just, like, pretend they never existed. Please. Please, I'm begging WWE. And Rollins, yeah, Rollins needs a reboot. He needs a reboot. And I know you asked that on the live show. So we'll get to that too, as you get a double dip of Anthony here, guys, on the mailbag portion of the WWE podcast. So your other question about getting emotional. Honestly, I never even brought this up on my show ever, I don't think. And it's not because, like, I'm above crying or I'm above emotion. It's just that it happens so rarely that I never it's like a silver fox or a blue moon. You don't see it very often, if ever. And when it happens, though, you remember those moments. Those don't leave you. So, boy, there's been one that stuck out in my mind. If you're going to go a match and not a moment, because you asked about matches. Oh, boy. Probably Rey Mysterio. Oh, not Rey Mysterio. I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to say Rey. I meant to say Eddie Guerrero versus Brock Lesnar. No Way Out 2004. Now, that match didn't make me cry in the moment. It's one of the better matches you'll ever see, because of how invested the audience was in it, how much of an underdog Eddie Guerrero was in that match, and how beloved he was by the fans. And he was able to grab the crowd by their throats, figuratively, of course, and drag them through the story. And the crowd was with him every step of the way, and more with him every step of the way. I'd really recommend that you go back and just brief yourself on the storyline, just so that you can kind of understand what the heck's happening. But Brock Lesnar basically was on his way out. He only had a month left in the company, and then when he went to go play unsuccessfully for the Minnesota Vikings and was cut in the final days or whatever it was to make the roster. But that was emotional for me on the back end. Not necessarily when I was watching the match, but on the back end of it, because with Eddie Guerrero dying in November of 2005, I mean, we just passed his 15-year mark. Good grief. Eddie Guerrero died 15 years ago of a heart attack, and I'll remember that Monday Night Raw forever. But matches, watching that match back after realizing, you know, what it meant to him, that it would be his only championship run, the fans embracing him, it's emotional on the back end of it. So that's to me the biggest one. If you're talking about moments where I actually bawled like seriously like a child, it was when Eddie Guerrero died and they did the Monday Night Raw tribute to him. It was 2005, as I mentioned, November 2005. I was actually in college. And again, I know people don't really care necessarily about my personal life or, like, you know, they just here to talk wrestling. But just to share it quickly, I promise I won't dwell on this. It's a moment that I remember. If you're talking about moments getting emotional because Eddie Guerrero passed, yes. I was 20 years old. I was in Coastal Carolina University. That's down near Myrtle Beach. And you can probably guess why I went to college there for only a semester anyway. I'll leave it at that. we used to go to spring break down there, and I figured it would be a fun place to go to college. Well, yeah, it was a little too fun. So I was down in there, and I remember sitting in my dorm / mini apartment that I had or whatever. I was watching Monday Night Raw and seeing everyone on stage, the bell tolling 15 times or 15 times, bell tolling 10 times. And then they pan to the crowd, and this is what will get you. They pan to the crowd, and you see people sobbing, like girls, maybe teenage girls, like sobbing. It was so emotional. I mean, I'm like getting all choked up thinking about it now. It was just one of those things that makes it real, and I know that wasn't part of the storyline, but it was one of those moments that you never forget ever. So moments... Eddie Guerrero passing, his tribute to Raw in November of 2005. I think it was like, you know, November 15th, 16th, 17th, whatever that next Monday Night Raw after he passed was of 2005. And then Eddie Guerrero winning the WWE Undisputed Championship, it was then called, from Brock Lesnar in No Way Out 2004. Those are what come to mind right off the bat. I mean, it doesn't happen very often, getting all choked up like that. I mean, we all feel anger. We all feel glee. But very rarely do we get the tears in our eyes legitimately. It doesn't happen very often. There's been a few retirement speeches. Edge retiring kind of hit me a little bit. Went back in 2011 after he faced Alberto Del Rio and won the World Heavyweight Championship. That got me. HBK retiring after WrestleMania 26. That also was a bit emotional watching. But, you know... I guess when things supersede pro wrestling and they become more real, that is when it grabs you. So there's a couple of recommendations. If you want to sob like a child, there you go. Okay. Whew. All right. Let's go on to the next voicemail here.
Hi, it's Kyle from Baltimore, Maryland. I just got done watching the Alexa Dickie match, and I do love Alexa's character, her being this crazy heel thing that she's doing. I just don't like that she's with Bray Wyatt. I'm not a Bray Wyatt fan, but I do like Alexa. I think she should go after the women. Should go after Asuka. She is, you know, Alexa's doing the best work that she's done in a while, and I could see her being the champion. There's someone else credible enough for Asuka to face, and now that Alexa just wrestled a match tonight, I think now for more than ever she should go after Asuka. But what do you think about that, Alexa and Asuka in the future? Thanks for a call, Pat.
Hey, Kyle. So, good question about Alexa Bliss. I didn't even think of this. See, this is why you guys are here. You're here to pick me up and make me feel smarter than I am, right? Because these are things I probably should be addressing in my own shows, but thank you for letting me thank you guys for being my crutch is what I'm saying, right? Okay. Alexa Bliss being champion. Yes. Yes, yes, in the words of Daniel Bryan. I think that is a very solid move. Now, I will tend to disagree with you right now on Alexa Bliss disassociating herself from The Fiend because – she is an extension of The Fiend. Yes, she can eventually go off and do her own thing, but what's the end game? Does she just keep that character? And even though her and Bray aren't together anymore, she still has the tendencies of The Fiend. I mean, I think for now she needs to stay with The Fiend. I know you don't like Bray Wyatt, but at the same time, she is part of Bray Wyatt right now, and she's doing a great job of distinguishing her own story. And that's what I mentioned in Monday Night Raw, is that she's not just a lackey or just a mind control puppet of Bray Wyatt, not doing her own thing. She is. She has got her own story with Nikki Cross, and eventually, hopefully, as you said, with Asuka. So she is on her own, yet attached to The Fiend. So you're kind of getting it halfway. You know, you're not getting the pairing where Alexa's only concerned about what Bray's doing and not doing anything of her own, but you're also not getting the complete split. They've kind of gone in the middle here. They've taken the middle road in their approach to what Alexa Bliss is right now. But you're absolutely right. And I think it would give Asuka someone new to work with. I think that it would give Alexa Bliss a massive shot in the arm, as if she's already gotten one anyway, becoming women's champion. And who's going to defeat Alexa Bliss when she's kind of inherited those superpowers from Bray of the almost like they're absorbing the pain and turning it into their advantage. Like every time they get hit, they just seem to become stronger. So that's a great idea. I would love to see Alexa Bliss as WWE Raw Women's Champion. I think that would be awesome. Now, does Bray need to capture the WWE Championship too? I would say, you know, I don't need that right now. I don't ever think The Fiend has needed it yet. I wasn't a fan of his first run with the Universal Championship. That was, I think, a little bit rushed. But eventually, would I like to see Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss as champions? Ooh, let's see how it goes. You know, as it stands right now, I think that'd be pretty damn cool. But who knows what the future story is going to bring, you know, so I could be changing my mind on Monday Night Raw and they do something wacky. But overall, yeah, Alexa Bliss as Raw Women's Champion, I would actually like that more than The Fiend as WWE Champion. So, okay, let's get to our next voicemail.
Hey, guys, this is the Casual Wrestling Fan again. Hey, I just want to go over a couple quick things real quickly. First, Monday Night Raw, having Bobby Lashley lose to Keith Lee, especially in that manner, I was totally against that. I mean, I don't disagree with him getting disqualification, but for MVP to come in and punch Keith Lee a couple of times and then get knocked out with a punch, I mean, I thought that was for naught. I mean, it made her business look pretty weak for such a strong group. You know, if it was going to be a disqualification, I think MVP should have came in with a steel chair and bopped him over the head, and then Bobby Lashley put him in the full Lashley hurt lock, whatever you want to call it. Number two on my last one of the day, we got to give all the credit and credence to The Undertaker right now. I mean, the man had an exceptional career, and everything he did for the business to show all the rest of the wrestlers how they should act. But, question, where would The Undertaker be without Kane? Because obviously, you know, Kane owes his career to The Undertaker, but the Kane angle gave The Undertaker depth. I mean, it's crazy the amount of, you know, back and forth that they went over the years. But that's my thought on tonight. Oh, and another point, where would The Undertaker be without Paul Bearer? I think both of those two people, Kane and Paul Bearer, both played a great role in The Undertaker in his longevity. And also, one last point, where would The Undertaker be if he never changed to the American Badass character? Where would he have got? I feel like that pivoted him. I love that character. And I just think it helped his character's longevity as well. So just tell me what you think about those points. Thank you.
All righty. Well, so lots there. I was like feverishly kind of writing down what you were saying because I want to make sure that I cover most of your points. Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley. I mentioned this on my Raw review. I was a huge, huge fan of that match because it over-delivered for me in a big way. And it reminded you how strong Bobby Lashley is as a human being. This guy is an absolute freak of nature. Which, by the way, where the hell's Lars Sullivan? Anybody know? Did he message another married woman on Instagram or something. I really don't know. I don't know where Lars Sullivan is. Like, does anybody have a clue? But yes, I know what you're saying too. That's a fair point to bring up about MVP attacking Keith Lee when it looked like Bobby Lashley was about to lose the match. Now, that is a typical heel thing to do, especially as a heel manager. You want to save face and not have them lose clean. I get it. That makes sense from a heat perspective as a heel. You know, that's the chicken you know what thing to do. But at the same time, you're right. The Hurt Business has not been built around that kind of thing. They've been just built around whooping ass. And that's what they've done. And if in a fair way, they haven't been really trying to cheat to win or doing something like this. So I agree that it kind of changed the dynamic of what the Hurt Business is willing to do to save face. You're right. And I did kind of think that too. I was like, whoa, that's the first time I believe MVP's done something like that. And it did take away a little bit. I agree on that. Undertaker. Yes. Undertaker deserves all the credit. He deserves all the attention. This man is an absolute legend. The best of all time. A very subjective thing to say, but I think that he's on a lot of people's Mount Rushmores. If you ask most fans, 30 years is something that is almost impossible to accomplish in this business. It literally is nearly impossible. And I know people are going to say, what are you talking about? For the last like 10 years, he only worked one match a year, right? But to be able to come back for one match every year, as Undertaker has said, is really hard to do because you have to get your body back in shape, especially at his age. Not easy to do. Not easy to do, even for one match. It takes months and months of training. So yeah, it's that one match for 15 minutes. But the preparation behind it, people don't understand what goes into it. And I didn't understand fully what went into it until I saw the documentary series, the Last Ride series with The Undertaker. So there's that. The other question is about Kane and Paul Bearer. Where would they be? Where would Undertaker be without them? I would say Undertaker would probably still exist in his current dead man format. But I don't think it would have been as successful because, as you said, it added depth. It added a little bit of added layers to Undertaker's character. You understood a little bit more about where he was from, what he values, you know, maybe a little bit about his family. You got to know the character Undertaker because of Kane. And you're right. And Paul Bearer, who was an absolute, and I don't think anybody could have fit Paul Bearer better in with The Undertaker than they did. I mean, he was cast perfectly. The hologram that they did on Monday Night Raw was, you talk about emotional, that was emotional moments. Seeing Paul Bearer hologrammed in was just, I'm sure he's smiling right now. I mean, like, I'm sure Paul Bearer loved it. I mean, seeing that was just awesome to do. A very, very perfect tribute for The Undertaker, and final vision of The Undertaker with Paul Bearer it's great. I mean, I have no words for that. And so I don't know where Undertaker, again, probably wouldn't have been as successful because he would have ran out of programs, but it would have been kind of rinse, wash, repeat. Kane was able to add something to The Undertaker that no other opponent has before that or has since. So you're absolutely right. And Paul Bearer was a perfect manager as the obnoxious but charismatic fat man that was just perfect, perfect, perfect with The Undertaker. And it was great. The American Badass thing too. Yeah, the American Badass thing is very controversial. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. I was fine with it. I think The Undertaker, The American Badass, was a right choice. It was the right thing to do, as weird as it was. And towards the end, we were all like, okay, can we bring back the dead man? And they finally did. So he went from June of 2000 until a Survivor Series of 2003 when Undertaker was buried by Kane, who interfered in the match between Vince McMahon and The Undertaker in a buried alive match. That's where Kane turned on Taker, buried him, which caused the transition. So that, I think, was a smart move by Taker to be able to go from the dead man to the American Badass for a few years. Back to dead man because it made you value the dead man character. But the American Badass was badass in his own right. He was able to speak freely. He was really good as a heel. People forget he was a really good heel as the American Badass. I'm with you. So thanks for calling in. Feel free to call in again. Okay, let's get to our next voicemail.
Hey, Matt. This is Hunter from Middle Georgia again. I just had two quick things. One, just to play devil's advocate on what you say about Matt Riddle. I actually really like him a lot. His character is the one thing, like, I know you don't like his character, so I'm there with you on how his character is portrayed. Because imagine him as a heel, but with better, I guess, lines, you could say. Because he already makes a lot of the legends mad in real life and everything. So imagine how obnoxious and annoying, in a good way, he would be as a heel. But if we're talking about his current character, I still like it because it's kind of like it's meant to, I'll just say, piss off the quote-unquote older fans who have been watching, like, Attitude Era and before that. So maybe that's the joke there. I don't know. But my main point I want to make is a different topic. Do you think Seth Rollins could return at the Royal Rumble, win that, and challenge Roman for the belt? Yeah, that's pretty much it. I know I was kind of all over the place the first time. I just got off work and tired, but thank you, man, so much. Longtime fan. Hope you have a great day and a safe Thanksgiving. Thank you, man.
Hey, Hunter, thank you for the question. Hope you got some sleep. I feel you on that. I'm fading as we speak, so I definitely feel you on the tired part of this. And I hope you and your family also enjoy Thanksgiving, as well as everyone here. I mean, everyone listening, I hope, does have a happy, safe Thanksgiving. So your point about Matt Riddle, I get what you're saying. And that's why he's just not my flavor, right? It doesn't mean it's wrong if you like him. Doesn't matter anybody's wrong if they like his babyface character. It's just, to me, not appealing. And for all the wrestling I've seen, just because I don't like something doesn't mean that everyone else doesn't like him. But typically, I have a sense. Typically, doesn't mean I'm always right. You can ask my wife. I am more correct than not in looking at a character and going, that's going to fail or not. As far as consistency on TV. I'm not saying, oh, you've seen him for a week, you can't decide if he's going to make it or not. No. But Matt Riddle's been on for a while now. I followed him a little bit in NXT too. And I just don't think, and in the current iteration of him being a babyface in that character, I do not think has legs. I think that people would start booing him very quickly if they were in front of fans. I really think that's true because he's not. And again, this is my opinion. As is everything that comes out of my mouth on the show is my opinion. But I don't think that he would be well received in front of a live audience on a consistent basis, given how unlikable he comes across on screen. He's too cool for school frat boy. But that day, hey, look, that's how I interpret it. And if they turn him heel, as you mentioned, and I've mentioned, I think a lot of the problems could be solved. And I really think that. The only problem is WWE is scraping for baby faces on SmackDown right now, like scraping. So they're going to have to go with the nickname creating frat boy wannabe of Matt Riddle, who's excellent in the ring, excellent in the ring. Like I've always said, that's not the problem. To get to your question, though, Seth Rollins, could they have him win the Rumble and face Roman Reigns? The answer is yes, they could. There's a couple of factors at play here, though. Right now, Rollins is a heel. Roman, I believe, my God, I hope they don't change it, is going to stay heel, hopefully for at least another year plus. So Roman's at least going to be heel for, I mean, safely 6 months. Safely. Maybe, again, hopefully more. Rollins is born for the heel role. Like, born for it. And when he tried, every time he tries babyface, it doesn't feel natural. It feels forced. It's awkward. The fans don't embrace him. They've tried that. They've been there, done that, and the fans have not embraced him the way that WWE has wanted. So for WWE to bring back Rollins, even if they attempted babyface attempt number, what, three or whatever it's been, and it kind of works, but they ultimately know, well, we've tried this before and it didn't go well. It's a big gamble. It's a big gamble by WWE to try to do that. To have Roman versus Rollins at WrestleMania. Unless they have some grand plan, that is a risky move. From a wrestling standpoint, of course, the match is going to be really good. But I don't think they'll go that road. Also because we have no idea when Rollins is going to come back from his hiatus with Becky Lynch. Assumingly he's going on a bit of a break to spend with his wife and his newborn, who's, I think she's due next month. A few weeks, I believe. I think it's mid-December. So if she's due and he spends a few weeks with his wife, maybe more, it's going to depend on that. I mean, maybe he skips the Rumble and comes back to Monday Night Raw after the Rumble and only stays for a month at home. I mean, who knows? So that is also a factor. And number three, we've kind of been there, done that with Rollins Reigns. I know they're different characters now. They're both heel. But we've kind of been there, done that. When you look at the history of these two, it's not exactly a fresh new matchup that fans are always looking for to present for your main event of WrestleMania. I wouldn't mind these two in some kind of heel versus heel, you know, kind of one-off on a B pay-per-view somewhere thrown in there in the middle of summer or something. You know, like a Roadblock, which actually I think was in like February one year, or Great Balls of Fire, or like in one of those just like bizarre pay-per-views that WWE just does where they have two in a month and one of them, like Payback, right? Like Payback was a week build. Remember that? Payback had like a week to build, and then they had two pay-per-views within like 2 weeks. That's where I could see this happening, but Vince is not a big fan of heel versus heel too. So there's a lot of things going against that decision. While it sounds good on paper and they haven't been in the ring together in quite a while, I can actually see them joining forces before I see them in a main event, much less the WrestleMania main event. I can't speak tonight, guys. So that's my answer. I'm going to say a pretty strong no, but you could be right about Rollins returning by the Royal Rumble to make an entrance. Absolutely. And he could be one of the final four. I just don't think there's a very strong chance of him winning. I don't. I think him and Roman, considering they're both heels, will probably align well before that match takes place. And again, that match will take place, but I don't think until one of them goes babyface again. All right. Well, that concludes the voicemail portion of this show. Thank you to everybody who has taken the time out of their day to call in. It is appreciated. And if you are listening and you're like, how do I get on the show? Easy. Here's what you do. You call us at 518-952-0247. That's our number, and it's a voicemail that will cut you off automatically after 3 minutes. So try to keep it to 3 minutes or less. Try to keep the swearing also down. You guys have been really good about that. I haven't really had to cut out the swearing, bleep it out or whatever. So thank you for that. Keep it PG. So, you know, the mild cuss words, whatever you hear me say on this show, like, you know what they are. You can say in the voicemail. That's totally fine. Question, comment, rant, whatever you'd like is encouraged because we do this show once a week. And it is for you guys to give me what you think about wrestling. It's not just about always me. So, alrighty. Well, again, as I said, that concludes the voicemail portion of the show. But we do have the live portion of the show that I'm going to be airing right now. And this didn't last too long. And we had just one caller. And that's fine. Again, live shows I'm not going to do without callers in the queue. So if I ever go live and there's nobody there, I'm just going to like end the show, right? Like, I'm not embarrassed about it. You know, like people have lives, they forget about it, whatever. And so that is why there's only one caller, is because that's all we had. So that's no problem. We're just starting the live show format up again. So that again will be more frequent down the line as we, and as I try to find time in my schedule. So already, well, I'm going to say goodbye here. You'll see me or hear me in just a moment introducing the show for the live format, but I'm ending it here. And again, this week, we got a lot more shows to come. You guys know the schedule. New Japan, the brand new show for Mimi on Sunday night with the ups and downs of the week. We've got SmackDown review with Michael Ritter. We've got NXT review with Zach Smith. We've got a lot more to come. And I'm really excited to bring it to you guys, and hopefully you enjoy the show. Again, like us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us also, and give us a 5-star rating and review if you like us. And on Patreon, consider kind of heading over to Patreon if you don't want ads. It's a great place to go and get that. So, alrighty, that's enough. Let's get to that live show. And everybody, enjoy your evening or your morning. Happy Thanksgiving, and I will talk to you next time.
We are like the customer service of professional wrestling. So thank you, everybody. I do see some people on hold, so we will get to you momentarily. But welcome to the WWE podcast right here live for the first time in quite a while, which means I have no safety net, which means if I screw up, I can't do a thing about it because it's live. So How about that? You should see the amount of times that I mess up and have to pause and re-edit and re-record. So here we go. This is the WWE podcast without a safety net. So welcome to those listeners that are brand new and those that are longtime listeners. Thank you so much for your loyalty. We are here tonight to discuss anything wrestling related, particularly this week, right? Survivor Series just wrapped up. Monday Night Raw to follow, and things are moving. And I think in a very good direction in a lot of ways. And I alluded to this on my Monday Night Raw review last night, that I think there's some good feuds, good programs coming along right now. It feels fresher than it has in quite a while. And I think that's due to some programs ending and new ones beginning, as well as the Survivor Series pay-per-view itself that is done and gone and buried, no pun intended, to The Undertaker, I guess. But it is now fresh start where we can get back to regularly scheduled programming, right? Survivor Series is like putting everything on hold, and now we are back to your normal programming. That's exactly what we are now. And yes, we have TLC, not my favorite pay-per-view of the year either. It's very gimmicky, but at least we're back on track with normal storylines progressing, and we can forget all the best versus the best and brand versus brand and all that nonsense. We are back to, again, some type of normalcy in wrestling storylines as we really look to the Royal Rumble, which is where I'm really looking next. And yes, we can kind of play it out to WrestleMania with some things going on, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts, and we're going to get them in a minute. But also, the voicemails. So I have voicemails that I will be doing kind of in a separate part of this show. And I don't think I'll be doing those live. I have yet to figure out how to actually do that, as I got them sent to me via voicemail or box, and now I'm trying to figure out how to put it on live. But that will be a part of this show on our normal feed. So I'll kind of morph the live show here and our actual voicemails into one single show that will be on the feed later tonight. So that is that I'm looking forward to. It's really a show for you guys. And I apologize for the Survivor Series mix up with my show. It was my first time going live in, my gosh, like a year and a half, maybe more. And it's the computer spit the bit. The server seemed to not work. It was just a disaster. And I was not happy. I literally almost threw my computer. It was not good. But I'm glad that you guys are with us tonight. I'm glad that you are here to talk wrestling, because that's what we're all here for. And one quick thing, and we're going to get to calls, is that tomorrow is NXT review. And then we have a lot of cool stuff coming. Friday's rivalries, and also New Japan Pro Wrestling, if you're into that, or maybe we can get you into that. And then Saturday is a brand new show from our brand new host here on the WWE podcast, Mimi Burris. You heard her here introduced Saturday night. It was the night before the pay-per-view, doing the Survivor Series preview. And she will be joining or doing her own show Sunday nights with the highs and lows of the week. So I'll be also dropping my week in review. So good Lord, there's a lot of shows coming your way the rest of the week. And happy Thanksgiving, by the way, to those of you that may be listening to this on Thanksgiving Day, or are maybe you don't celebrate it, but if you do in the United States, you know, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're all staying happy, healthy, safe, and we're all getting through this in a very weird Thanksgiving, right? Everything's just weird this year. So, okay, I think it's time for calls. So let's go to our first caller, and that is, and I think I have a feeling, even though I've never spoken to this individual live, I have a very interesting feeling on exactly who this is, but let's see if I'm right. Maybe I'm completely wrong. So I'm going to put this person on the air, and 631, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
So I assume you could hear me and you're talking to me there, Matt.
Yes, sir.
All right, this is Anthony. I'm from Long Island. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
From a couple of years ago?
I didn't forget. Absolutely. How you doing?
Doing great, man. I'm actually really excited that I got on tonight. Been kind of looking forward to it all day. Left you a voicemail the other day. I don't know if you got it yet, but I love those new shows that you do in the mailbag. They're really awesome. Get a lot of perspectives from different fans.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is, as you may remember, I'm kind of a new, born again, let's just say, a wrestling fan. And I'm fascinated by the relationships outside of the WWE. So, for example, like Bianca Belair and Montez Ford, they're married, right? Aleister Black and, Zelina Vega, and how they kind of worked that in there. And one of the things I was thinking about is, and I wanted to ask you, Montez Ford. I think the guy is incredible athlete, incredibly talented. He's going to be a star. Bianca Belair, same thing. Who's going to have the bigger career in the WWE? Who's going to be around the longest? Who's going to be a legend? I think one, if not both of them, can be. And I'm just curious to kind of see what your thoughts are on them. Again, me kind of as a somewhat new wrestling fan.
Mm, that's a good question. And they right now seem to be paralleling one another in their own divisions. Like you have Montez Ford, who is clearly the star of the Street Profits. There's no question about it. And you have Bianca Belair, who is kind of an up-and-coming star in the making. You can see it. You can see it coming a mile away. And they've been showing signs of her being spotlighted in the last few weeks or so. And she had a really good showing last year at the Royal Rumble as well, eliminating I forget how many women. So I think if you're going to put me on the spot and you're going to say which one ultimately has a bigger career, I would say, and this is hard to say, but I would probably say Montez Ford, only because, and this, again, this is all going to be 2020 at some point, but I think that his athleticism is off the page. I think it's even at a level higher than the average WWE performer. I think that his athleticism is in a new stratosphere as far as his vertical height ability. His charisma is also insanely tangible. He's got a very magnetic personality, whether you love him or don't. I'm in the camp that really doesn't, but I still want to watch him. So I think ultimately he probably has a quote better career, but on the flip side, Bianca Belair, there's a lot there. She looks different. She wrestles different. She talks different. She's got a lot going for her. And I don't think she's even really gotten started yet. So I don't know if that's answers it, but what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, Montez Ford is – I'm a little biased. I'm a former Marine. I know he was in the Marine Corps. Had to get that in there, you know what I'm saying? But he really is just unbelievable. He's on a different level when it comes to watching him in the ring. I think he's would be much better off having a singles career. But Bianca Belair, there's just something about her. There's just something unique about her. That I really think if they give her a push, she can have a bright future. And I just think it's so cool how they could be like the power couple of the WWE in a few years, that I just think they both have such unlimited potential. And, they're married. Is there anybody else in the history of the WWE that has had that dynamic, that kind of came up together at the same time?
Triple H and Stephanie?
That were married? Yeah, but wasn't that kind of more organic where, that wasn't from the beginning, right? That kind of happened like during their careers?
Maybe it happened, I would say, for Triple H when they started their storyline in 99. That's when Triple H was still a DX but just about to break out on his own. And Stephanie had just kind of been introduced to the wrestling audience as Vince McMahon's daughter, and she was abducted by Undertaker and all that. And so that's kind of where it started. Like, and Stephanie, really, to her defense, wasn't ever a true wrestler in the sense of every week wrestling. She was more of Triple H's sidekick at times, but in her own right was a very strong personality. So, yeah, I mean, there are similarities there, but I see what you're saying.
I got a minute for another quick question for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good deal. All right, so... So Seth Rollins, I mean, I've been listening to your podcasts and, he's been getting, he hasn't been getting the respect lately. And I think it's because obviously, he's going to be taking a break soon for his personal life, having a baby and whatnot. But when he comes back, do you think they're going to continue this with him, or do you think he's going to get a push towards the top again? As he really is just such a dynamic superstar, and it really is it's interesting to see him. When I got back into wrestling, it was literally the day that that Roman Reigns announced he had cancer. That was like the first, I think it was Raw that I had seen since the 80s. So that's the span of me watching the WWE, and Seth Rollins since that time frame he's been like the top star. And now to kind of see him where he's at now. And again, I understand that I think, you know, creative is trying to just kind of give him an easy, soft exit. But what do you think? You think when he comes back, they'll repackage him and he'll go to the top, whether as a heel or a babyface?
I hope so. I mean, I've been really disappointed with what they've done with him over the last 4 to 5 months. I mean, ever since he lost to Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, I don't think that he's really been the same. And if you're going to go back further, after he lost AOP, I mean, when AOP went down with injuries, I think that really hurt him because they were the perfect fit for his character, kind of the heavies and the protection for Rollins. And that was gone, and he was on his own. He was a messiah with no disciples. And then Murphy came along, and Murphy kind of came and went and was enemies and then not, and he didn't know where he stood. And now it's been a hard break. So Seth Rollins is really kind of a ship lost at sea. He feels directionless, and I don't like that. I do. So to answer your question, I don't know if it could be completely repackaged. WWE tends to stick with the safe zone of whatever worked in the past. They'll continue to try to do instead of taking a chance. But if he comes back as the Messiah, I would like a darker, more sinister, not fiend-like, but in his own way, a guy that actually has disciples so he can call himself the Messiah. It's very hard to have a gimmick calling yourself the Messiah when you can't back it up. So, you know, yeah, I hope that he comes back stronger, tweaked a bit, not completely repackaged into a whole new character, but stays heel. That's key. I'm a big fan of the heel Seth Rollins, and has people with him with a darker character. It immediately makes an impact and attacks the champion, like the Universal Champion. That is what I hope happens. Maybe he aligns himself with Roman Reigns. Yeah.
I agree. I think it's such a great character, this Messiah. There's so much they could do with it. He plays the role wonderful, but you're right. He needs disciples. I'm watching, you know, and everybody, you know, is turning on him. He's all by himself. It just doesn't fit the script. And I think hopefully that's what they're going to do. Him saying, you know, when, you know, in Survivor Series, when he sacrifices himself, it's for the greater good. So it sounds like they're kind of, you know, planting some seeds for future storylines with him, you know, in this role. And I just think that would be really cool if they do that. And I'm hopeful for that. I'm hopeful for that. You know, let him go have his baby. Let him get woken up at, you know, 3, 4, 5 a.m. every morning. And then he'll come back, hopefully, you know, a newly refreshed man, and it'll be cool to see Becky back as well. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to Becky back as well. I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. I've been trying to look around to see what the time frame may be for when Becky is going to return. I don't think she knows. I think until she has the baby, hopefully, you know, God willing, everything goes well for both of them. And, you know, happy, healthy baby. And maybe he's back in a couple of months. And she comes back later in the summer. I mean, that is probably what I'm thinking. I think, though, that it would be hard-pressed for him to miss WrestleMania, right? So if she has the baby in a month, which I believe she's due in December, then that gives him a couple of months to still be with her through February, stay at home, recharge his batteries, enjoy his wife and his kid, and then come back in time for WrestleMania. I really have a hard time believing that he would miss WrestleMania. But Becky, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Especially if there's fans.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know, if there's fans in the stand, you know, I mean, that, hey, how can you miss that? Especially, you know, after the year that we've been through, I bet you all these wrestlers can't wait to have, you know, fans again to feed off the energy and whatnot.
You know, I was thinking about that. As much as the fans, us, we complain about no fans in the arena, which obviously isn't anyone's fault. But, you know, right. we've always said, like, oh, man, it'd be so much better with fans there. And, you know, that, what would the fans have reacted to with this and this and this? I think that we are only feeling a fraction of what the wrestlers are, because they live off of that. That's why they became the wrestlers that they are. That's why they dedicated their lives to being professional wrestlers. You live off the crowd. And when you take the soul out of it for them,
it's really hard, I'm sure, for them to do. And they've been faking it pretty well. I mean, they've done a really good job, I got to say, over the last 8 months or so, of at least pretending that everything is okay. And I'm appreciative of that. And I think that they've done as good of a job as we could have expected. But, man, I always think about that. I'm like, hey, we always complain as fans, but I'm sure the wrestlers are even – they're even in a more tough spot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't wait to go back to a live show. I did about 4 or 5 live shows in 2 years. Like, I really went all in on this, and I miss it. But you have filled that void. I'll just give you a shout out quick. You know, I've sampled other podcasts when I started getting into this again, and it just hands down, you're the best in the business. You have a great radio voice. You're knowledgeable. You care about the fans, and thank you. I just wanted to appreciate that, because I always look forward to getting your podcast. I listen to them, and I'm an educated consumer, and it makes my viewing more enjoyable when I kind of know what's going on. So Matt, thank you, man. I'm thrilled that you did this show today, and looking forward to being a part of the show in the future. I'll annoy you with a couple of mailbags here and there, and any live show, you'll be getting a call from me.
Awesome. Well, Anthony, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. I'm glad that you were able to call in. I'm glad that I'm a small part of your wrestling experience, able to give you that knowledge that I guess that you crave and that I think we all should have when we're watching wrestling. Anytime we're watching wrestling, especially, I think we should be as educated as we can. I don't feel like I'm the smartest in the business. And I'm a passionate fan that's on here talking to other passionate fans. And I appreciate that. And I hope that you have a great Thanksgiving, and you and your family enjoy and are safe. So Anthony, thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to kind of transition a little bit into the Survivor Series. I want to just touch on the Survivor Series pay-per-view quickly and things that I didn't really touch or dive deep into on the pay-per-view review that I did with the Botch Guy, which, by the way, if you haven't checked out, everyone go check out the Botch Guy on YouTube. Great passionate fan, just like myself, except he does video, I do audio. So maybe I'll dive into video a little bit more sometime. But by the way, if anybody wants to call in, the lines are open, 516-387-1528, and you press 1, and you're able to get into the calling queue. So just a little bit of a heads up for those out there that may be listening and want to chat. So the Survivor Series pay-per-view, I got to say, the wrestling quality, as I said, was top notch. I really enjoyed the wrestling. I don't know about the rest of you guys. The wrestling was probably the best part of the show. And that often doesn't happen for me. I'm a big story guy. I'm a big wrestling in ring comes second to the story that's going on, because I don't care what these guys are doing in the ring if I don't have a reason to care about the characters themselves. So I just wanted to point out, like, that sometimes the wrestling can make up for the lack of a story. So I will kind of, I'm not backtracking on my belief, but I'm also conceding to the fact that yes, you can still have a great wrestling match, and you can bring fans into a match that you may not have otherwise cared so much about. And an example of that would be the New Day versus the Street Profits at Survivor Series. I mean, you talk about a really, really good match. You talk about a match that from start to finish, I mean, it brought you in into the match. It brought you in, and it made you care about the performers in the ring, even though there wasn't technically a quote heel on that particular matchup. There were elements of the story. Like, you had these four professionals in the ring, in there, able to tell a story from start to finish, even though the story, let's be honest, was weak. Right, the story itself was making jokes at each other, doing kind of backhanded compliments, doing the whole gyrating and the whole just nonsensical promos on one another. It wasn't anything special. It was just the tag teams versus the tag team champions versus the tag team champions. So sometimes, guys, as much as I may say story is important, and it is, as it is, a perfect example of when it's not super important is when you have ultra talented guys in the ring. with the example I just gave you of the tag team match on Sunday, that is when it doesn't matter so much. And it's just a testament to all four guys. Now, this is the exception and not the rule, right? Because the exception is having guys that are so talented, they can work through a story that doesn't exist. And this is a perfect example of that, where you don't have a story and you were able to work through it and make fans care about what's going on. So, all right. Well, guys, I want to also, again, if you want to call in, 516-387-1528. If there are no other calls, I will wrap the show and do voicemails on the side. So in the next minute or so, again, if anybody wants to chime in, get in the caller queue. That is the number, 516-387-1528, and press 1 on your phone, on your dial pad, your keypad on your phone. So, well, guys, that I think then will do it. I have a ton of voicemails to get to, so I'll continue to do these live shows, right? I'm going to continue to do them through pay-per-views, I think is where I'll start, the live shows at the pay-per-views. And maybe I will continue to do this on a Wednesday. I know it's Nostalgia Night, so maybe I'll kind of do a dual show of sorts, or just do separate shows with Nostalgia and do the Mailbag show. Okay, I think that pretty much wraps it up. You guys know the schedule the rest of the week. You know, Anthony, thank you for calling in. This was everyone's opportunity, and I will have many more. Stay tuned to my Instagram at WWE_podcast, and head over to the my Twitter feed at wrestling_audio and WWE_podcast on Instagram. That is where you'll see when I post about upcoming shows, live shows just like this on Blog Talk Radio. So if anybody has any questions, you can also email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. So I think that'll do it for me, guys. And I'll be doing a mailbag version of this show with all the voicemails, and there's a ton of them attached to this quick little live show. So thank you guys for listening. As always, I'll talk to you next time.